This
episode
of
Dungeon
Punks
is
brought
to
you
by
the
Storm
Crow
Alliance,
a
collective
of
the
nerdiest
bars
in
Canada.
If
you're
in
Vancouver
and
looking
for
some
tabletop
action
of
your
own,
you
can
hire
a
game
master
through
their
DM
and
Dine
program.
For
more
information,
check
out
experience
ets.com
to
sign
up.
And now onto the show.
Previously on Dungeon Punks.
I'm peeing right now.
Not all of us have magical underwear, Phil.
Did you just barf a bomb?
I mean, speaking of your mom.
I don't care anymore.
Welcome to Dungeon Punks. I'm Stu Pop, your Dungeon Master and everyone's podcast dad. And with me as always are the members of Rust Monster.
Lee Eldridge, and I play Scotty Stormbringer, who is the bass player of Rust Monster, a half-dark elf, and I think still in a giant robot?
Accurate.
I think we all are.
We're all really just a giant robot.
What do you think
on
about
the inside?
We're all
with
in
our
machine.
Powers combined.
The more you know. Ding. Are you done? You good?
Yeah, I was trying not to talk too much this time.
Oh, shit. I screwed up. All right, hey, I'm Devin Meisner. I play Johnny Eagle, lead singer of Ross Monster. I'm a bird person, classically trained. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Aaron Passmore. I play Shoesy June. She's the guitar player, satire bard, fallen ASMR. And I was going to make some like suggestive comment about being inside a robot. But Lee already kind of covered that. So
yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Phil?
Yeah, and I'm Phil C. Plack playing as Gregan Stonehand, who is the drummer of Rust Monster and a deep gnome.
Excellent. So you guys have just landed back inside the secret cavern, inside your
secret.
Giant stone centes. What do you want to do? The Johnny's mom and some of the naval...
Phrasing. Are we not like phrasing anymore?
Yeah. Ooh. Okay.
Can you remind me of her name?
Johnny's mom. It's got it going on.
It's mom.
It is. She is
slash like
Rear Admiral Elizabeth
Rear
Eagle.
Admiral.
Right.
Oh, that's gonna be hard for me to say.
You can just say
Rear Admiral.
Admiral.
Rear Admiral.
Refer to her
Admiral.
As Johnny's mom,
okay.
Which probably just make this whole thing easier.
Fair enough.
And I think I've been doing that.
Yeah. I've even been saying that. Hi, Johnny's mom. Hi.
So Johnny's mom and some of the naval warlocks are waiting in the cavern for you guys. Do you get out of your sente?
Yes. Do I have to like reverse stall park?
Yeah.
Can
you
I
make,
try that?
Sure. Yeah. Give me a piloting check.
Okay.
How would you do such a check?
I don't know. Do I have a piloting check?
Just to make an...
19 roll.
Well, that's probably good enough. Yeah, you figured this out. You expertly back your eagle into its little stall. There is a little siren and a light.
Did these things self-park?
You can make an investigation check to see if there's a button for that.
They didn't pay for that feature.
16.
Yeah, you find a little button. It's got like a little glyph that seems to be like a parking symbol.
I go boop.
And your... wolf backs itself into its spot and sort of like sits down.
Cool.
And then I jump out and strike a pose. And something in the background goes, shee.
It's a good idea. Missed opportunities, Johnny.
Yeah, where?
Johnny's like climbing out of the window.
Where is the cockpit of these constructs in relation to their bodies? Like, are we in the heads?
You're in the heads, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I guess we all get out. Unless you want to live in it. That's cool.
I live here now.
Okay. You have like all your clothes hanging up in the background.
It's, like, it's better than our apartment. That's not
roomier.
My voice.
Roomier for sure.
Yeah. It's all mine.
Just living it down by the river. Just like parking it there.
Definitely. Down by the railroad tracks.
The secret's two buckets.
I live in a lion down by the river.
Yeah, I'll move my bear sente to its respective corner.
Okay. You don't need to make a real piloting check for that. You're not in a bird, so you're
I just like vaguely
backwards.
Walk into the direction and then just
you bump into the back of the cavern a little bit and like everything shakes because everything is massive.
Yeah,
it's just getting its bearings.
Heyo. Yeah.
It begins.
And then I eject out.
I wonder if we've set a world record for the most bear puns in a podcast. Someone get
it's
Guinness
possible.
On the line.
Hello, Guinness. Yes. This is Dungeon Punks.
Who?
You know, Dungeon Punks.
What?
Did you get my mail? I don't know why I'm talking like that.
That's how everybody at the Guinness World Records talks.
Well, Colin from the 1940s.
Yeah. Hey, Guinness, how's it going? Oh, great. How about you? Then we have a great conversation.
Meanwhile.
Yeah. No.
All right, so you all park.
Yep.
And jump out and strike a pose.
Half-heartedly, I guess.
You're definitely like got a real high adrenaline high going on from flying those things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I guess we can talk about how we crushed that thing that I forgot about already.
Yeah.
Land shark.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
Dressed like a 1940s gangster. Yes.
Was it actually?
I don't know. I didn't listen back to the episode. I feel like we did commit to it being canon because I feel like last episode I was saying stuff was canon a lot.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, Stu was just busting up the cannons everywhere.
We need like that one guy on the internet to just keep track of everything for us.
I decided his name is Doug, so if there's a Doug listening, it's you, buddy. Get on it.
It's all on you.
And if there's two Dougs, you're going to have to fight it out.
Yeah. Find each other, meet in person. I don't care if you have to buy a flight.
There can be only one.
There can only be one Doug.
This is to the death, too. So, and like, we don't have the power to make that not illegal. So Doug that wins, you better have a plan for disposing that body.
Two Dougs enter, one Doug leaves.
You're going to have to dig, Doug. You're going to have to dig.
Is that where this was going?
All right. Call that the long game. All right. I hop out.
Okay. Do you guys keep the armor on or do you take it, deactivate it at this point?
I'm going to keep it on for now.
Yeah, I'm going
to
keep it on.
Yeah, we might need to fly out again.
I'm going to keep it on and like totally play like I'm not wearing it.
Okay. How does that look?
Just like nonchalantly walking around.
Eating some noodles.
Yeah.
Like, doing like lots coffee. Of deep lunges. So, like.
Yeah, pretty much. I try to like drink something. I can't.
So Johnny's mom approaches you guys and says that, right, well, we've got to prepare you for your mission to the moon. Meet me up in the briefing room in 10 minutes. You have a little time to, I don't know, calm down from your adventures.
I'm just like finishing off stretching.
Do we know where the briefing room is?
Yeah, you've been in there before.
We've been there before? Okay. Yeah.
The moon?
No, the briefing room.
Oh, you haven't been?
I go to the moon every weekend.
Yes, we did summer there. And
some people go to the Hamptons, we go to the moon.
All right, so we have 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What's everyone else doing? Like, not just like our group, but like the scientists and warlocks.
There's like a ground crew that's sort of spraying down the mechs and cleaning them off. I guess not mechs, but scented robots.
Oh. I asked them to like put a good wax polish on it.
Yeah, they're not sure how to like wax stone, so... Just spraying it down.
No.
You don't have that kind of equipment.
I think you would have to put it in like a stone polisher thing and that just might wear down all of the bits.
Does it have eyes?
Come back, it's like perfectly round.
Yeah. Oh my god. What'd you do? I put it in a rock tumbler. It's like, what have you put it in a rock tumbler?
How? How big was this rock tumbler?
It's a volcano. I was like, wait, what? Does that have eyes?
The robot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not really a robot.
It's what you look out of.
Oh, okay. Are there windows then? Mm-hmm. Cool. I want to use prestidigitation to make them super shiny.
Okay. You spend a couple minutes doing that like square by foot.
Yep. I have 10 minutes, dude.
Right. That's literally what you do then is you just spend your 10 minutes pointing at your robot and shouting clean. What's everyone else doing in their 10 minutes?
Gonna go see how Cherry's doing because I've sworn not to forget about her ever again.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah, she's here.
Yeah,
oh,
she's, you guys just, like, she kind of grabs you, gives you a big smooch. She's kind of amped up on the adrenaline rush, too. And that is how she deals with that.
I forgot she had a robot-y, too.
Yeah, she's the shark, I think.
Oh, yeah, she's the shark.
Ruby shark.
No.
I just remembered.
I will murder this podcast.
Shut it down.
Stu, you're very murderous today for some reason.
Yeah,
Bloodthirsty.
That's not a trait you want in a DM.
So the 10 minutes pass, and you all find yourself up in the briefing room.
Cool.
Where there is a magical projection of the moon.
Ooh.
Interesting.
It's just someone's butt. Yeah.
Does it look really good? I meant the moon, not the butt. Like, is it like...
Sorry, I'm
are we,
done.
Are we talking like Star Wars-y here? Yeah. Or are we talking like actual like high-res moon?
No, it definitely has a real Star Wars-y quality.
Nice.
Cool. Dig it.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it is like someone who's trying to do it like from memory of like a bunch of maps that they looked at. So
yeah,
it's not picture perfect.
Why don't we just have like a magnification spell or something that will show us the moon?
Because one of the warlocks goes, "Well, yes, I guess I could have done that. That would have been easier." And I've spent all day. Great. Why don't you just great? And walks away.
I mean, I'm just trying to make this more efficient. Just trying to help, bud.
The other warlock just goes, sorry about Steve. He's just under a lot of stress lately.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, you can tell by his work.
Yeah, he's going through a divorce. It's a whole messy thing.
Sorry, Steve. Sorry to hear.
You hear some soft sobbing coming from outside the briefing room.
So let's go look at the subpar moon then.
So they sort of zoom in to a section of the moon. You can see there is a large castle on the moon, and it's surrounded by what appears to be like a dome. And Johnny's one says, this is the castle that Lord Dead has built on the moon. It's surrounded by an impenetrable wall of force. Unfortunately, your sentes won't be able to go through it. So you'll have to find a way in on foot and bring down the wall of force so that you can attack with your sentes.
We can't just like explode it or something?
It is an impenetrable wall of force.
Well, do we need the moon? I don't really know what it does. Can we just blow up the moon?
We could just blow up the moon. It seems like a
I don't
easy
think
solution.
Even the sentes are powerful enough
like
to do
good
that.
Idea.
Yeah.
There's also, the moon is important for tides and whatnot, and also certain druids gain their power from it, and that's rather important.
There's water and druids on the moon?
No, the moon affects the water and druids here in Fugazi.
Oh, so they go to the moon?
No, that it just affects them from where it is.
I wander off.
Jonathan!
So, yes, you're talking about...
This makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
Druid's moon, yes. Impenetrable druids.
Now, some members of Her Majesty's Royal Astronomer Corp have been working around the clock to map the exterior of the castle and its grounds, and they have identified what they think is a small tunnel that may lead to a cavern under the castle, which is possibly a way up into the castle itself.
Like gotcha. A sewer or something?
And so, again, the map zooms into this little hole. No, it appears to be a natural cavern.
Oh, good. I didn't really want to climb through a sewer again.
So this tunnel is your target. You need to land near it, get in, shut down the wall of force, get back out into your sentes, and attack lead.
And just to be clear, we are flying to the moon with our robots.
That's correct, yes.
How long will that take?
Well, no one's ever done it before, so I don't know.
Hmm. Can I, like, start?
We estimate only a few hours.
Okay.
You're going to do the math?
I might do some math.
All right, give me your science roll.
Oh, science, sweet.
Said no one ever.
Science is awesome. Science
nice.
Is cool.
That will be a 21.
Science.
Okay, at the speed that your sentes moved in atmosphere, it will take you 2 months to get to the moon.
Okay.
But what about out of atmosphere?
Well, you haven't attempted. Yeah.
I don't know how fast these things can go, but assuming they accelerate.
They're sealed so that we can breathe once we get out of atmosphere.
Someone sort of clears their throat and sort of this mousy-looking artificer comes over. He's like, yes, so, hello, I'm Y. Just in case the Sente Ranger armor isn't protected against the vacuum of space, we have designed a magic item that will project a bubble of air around you for 1 minute if you're somehow ejected from your Sente beast. They themselves are rather airtight.
But did you say 1 minute?
Only 1 minute?
Well, enough
not a
time
lot of
for
time.
One of you to rescue the one that is ejected.
One? Can we get two? Because 1 minute's not a long time.
I'd want more like 10, honestly. Have you seen these guys?
I mean, per item, I can't give you more. I can give you more items. I can give you, we have enough for three each.
What do they look like?
They're just like a little gem.
Is he holding one out?
Yeah.
I click it.
Okay. You just hear like a
and does he float away?
No, there's just like a burst of air now.
Oh, cool.
It doesn't quite have the same effect in atmosphere.
Oh. So we're going to have to use one of these to get from our sentes to the underground tunnel, maybe?
Oh, no, there's an atmosphere on the moon.
What?
Oh.
Really?
Future shit.
So it's always been that way.
That makes sense how the druids can breathe then.
That's true. The moon druids.
No,
yeah.
The druids. As far as I know, there's no druids on the moon.
Yeah, that's what you know.
Maybe it's in a cave. You don't know. Mr. Scientist.
Yeah, maybe there are druids on the moon.
I guess you have me there.
Just because you haven't seen them doesn't mean they don't exist.
He just kind of pushes his glasses up on, he's a bird person as well, on his beak, and just kind of, right, so here are your air stones. And
thank
he hands
you.
Everyone three and Johnny two, because one of them is no longer usable.
Air stones.
I assume these things are fairly similar to the breathing apparatuses we used to go underwater at one time.
Except they're only usable for a minute, and the other ones were
forever,
like seemingly indefinite.
I knew I should have kept those necklaces.
And these are handheld.
Oh.
And they project air all around you.
So like our blood doesn't like leak it over pores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Space.
Good. Yeah.
The final frontier.
These are the stories of a punk band going through space.
Much like voyages. Scuba gear would be a terrible idea to try and take into space. These work differently.
Because I put away the scuba gear. Okay. So how much, when are we leaving?
Yeah, so your mother says, if there's nothing else you need, you may leave at your earliest convenience.
Aren't they going to, like, see us coming? We're giant-ass robots.
Yes, likely. Luckily, your robots can fight.
Is there anything you can tell us about this Lord Led?
He's very dangerous and a powerful magician.
Way to be vague about it.
Gotcha, magicians.
Oh, what time is it?
It's roughly 1600 hours.
Oh, okay. What time's the bakery close?
What bakery?
Oh, croissants. And I go and try to get croissants. I need some food for the road.
You just like leave and like go back down that tunnel and then up the ladder?
Isn't it just like up the top?
And then through the school and then...
I fly.
Okay, it still takes you like 20 minutes.
No, and then... Johnny, we don't have time for croissants.
You're going to thank me.
No.
Really yeah, so not. you get back to the Girdaloon Cafe. It's empty as it was before. The money you left on the counter is still there because no one has been around to collect it.
Mm-hmm. I clear it out.
Do you pay for anything?
Yeah.
Okay. So you leave like 10 gold.
Sure.
And you box up all of
gold.
The...
10 gold? That's a lot for croissants.
All of the pastries.
I could buy at least like a library card for that price.
You cleared it out. You took all of their pastries.
How many pastries do they make a day?
A lot.
Okay, I bring like a big box, like 12. Okay. 13 a baker's dozen.
Okay,
then I go back.
Can leave 2 gold. All
right. Then I go back. And oh, so I get individually baggies too.
So I never thought I would feel so much animosity towards croissants.
I get baggies for everyone. Like, I'll just bring them with me. I'll sort it out later.
Okay.
I know we're tight on time.
Johnny arrives back carrying multiple boxes of croissants.
I don't want crumbs in my robot.
Oh, don't worry. They're, I just hand them to you and walk off.
Don't worry. Here you go.
My impulse is to whip them at the back of your head.
But they're so good.
Make a ranged attack roll. It's an improvised weapon.
16.
I have 16.
That hits you. You get hit in the back of the head with a croissant box. You're now covered in crumbs.
My armor's covered in crumbs.
Which how you
I'm
get
still
ants.
Wearing.
Was there anything else we learned while Johnny was away?
Did you have any specific questions? Otherwise, you're just kind of waiting around.
Not particularly that I can think of right now, but yeah, potentially just more stuff about this Lord Led and I don't know.
No, he was often like behind enemy lines, and it was only through like a very secret Black Ops mission that some Disco Knights were able to trap him on the moon.
Mm. Do we know maybe like what he's doing on this castle? Or at this castle?
They're not sure. He's just sort of been building it up. They assume just sort of, I don't know, like amassing power up there somehow.
How many minions does he have?
They're not sure. If he's making these like constructs, it could be an unlimited number.
Hmm. Great.
I also may have asked at some point like how Lord Led even got to the moon.
Because yeah, I mean, they would tell you that it's all, like, Black Ops. It's still classified.
Didn't they, launch him to the moon and there was some seal or something? We learned about that previously.
I mean, if you subscribe to our Patreon and listen to our bonus episodes, you'll find out exactly how Lord Led gets sent to the moon.
Either way, we, as our characters, don't know.
No.
Okay. That's what's important.
Yeah. Choose anything you want to be doing?
We don't know anything.
I'm just talking to Cherry and doing the whole, like... about to go on this really dangerous mission. If one of us doesn't make it back, I want you to be okay. If you die, I'm just gonna probably end up making out with someone eventually.
Whoa.
I want to be real. I love you. But, you know, and the same goes for you. So, like, definitely.
It's gonna pass because this is the first time you've told her that you love her. So.
Oh, fuck. pulling a Jake Peralta there.
She points out that that's the first time you said that you love her. And she says, I love you too. And if I die, it's okay for you to move on. And
are we going to kill her off?
I'm going to become an angry spirit.
I just, why are you so much better at saying this shit than I am? I
confidence?
Her.
She shrugs her shoulders and says,
"You're lucky. I do love you. Let's not die, though, okay?"
Then she sort of comes in close and gives you a big kiss.
If this was an anime, Scotty would just be behind and you guys with big heart eyes.
And then
like,
she does say, "And you're right, we are going into a dangerous situation." And then the camera pans up to, there's a window for some reason, and the blinds just kind of blow in the wind a little bit, and then we cut away. And that's your 20 minutes.
Oh, man. Is this like a BioWare thing?
So you guys are coming out of just a, I'm going to say it's probably just a supply closet when Johnny arrives back with his croissants.
I mean, yeah.
I could just randomly grab somebody and be like, this is a dangerous mission.
Scotty was there with the hard eyes and then was like, well, oh no.
Yeah. Well, then they probably went and found the supply closet because I was definitely not in a supply closet with them. That'd be weird.
You're just like standing right next to them.
Just eating a croissant that I somehow had before Johnny came back with them.
Read the room.
Well, Cherry did get a bunch for everybody.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's why we didn't need more.
No, we always need more because it's going to be 2 months until we get there.
Well, no. I feel like no, but.
Okay.
Okay. Shall we move forward?
Yeah.
I hope so.
All right, you guys all say your power words and are back inside your Sentes.
Cool.
Sweet.
Who's going to exit first? Who's leading the charge?
Well, I'm the slowest, so not me.
You go first. Everyone has to wait. It's like, oh, God.
I feel like probably Johnny.
All right, your Sente lets out the call of a red-tailed hawk, and you rocket out into the open air.
Yeah. Is there comms?
Yeah, we established that last time.
Can I talk to my mom?
Your mom does not have a Sente helmet comm. You could use what your sending stone, though.
Yeah.
There
actually,
was a way to talk to... Last time, there was a way to talk to base camp.
Sure. Just, yeah, but will we be able to talk to base camp while we're on the moon, or is
no,
it too far?
It's too far. Yeah. Okay. It was proximity. I can't remember what the proximity was.
Okay, so we're on our own.
So you give your mom a call.
Yeah. All right, mom. I know I messed up a lot, but I'm going to make sure this actually goes right. But just in case if I don't make it back... I put 5 gold at the bakery, and I want to make sure I pay for that.
Wait, you didn't... You're expecting me to go pay for the pastries
no,
you
no,
just spent 20 minutes
on? I just want to make sure we're clear. And then I just hang up.
You guys can see... You can't see hear what the conversation was, but if you look up at the like control room, you can just see the Rear Admiral was just like her head in her hands.
I don't want someone walking by taking the money. Ugh. That'd be on my conscience.
All right, Cherry follows Johnny next in the shark.
I'll go next.
All right, the wolf butt rockets activate and you
butt
end up in
rockets
space.
Activate!
That just makes me think of Pacific Rim and the elbow rocket punch.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
That is pretty cool.
I was just going to make a joke about Brent. Audience members, that's my husband. That's something that he would say, probably.
Butt rockets?
Butt rockets, yeah.
Butt rockets activate.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
It's true. It's canon.
Yep.
Yeah. Come down to Brent's butt rockets and get the finest butt rockets. Come into an episode near you.
You got butts? We can strap a rocket to it.
You got the butts? We got the rockets. Brent's butt rockets.
Our new sponsor.
50% off if it's your first butt rocket.
Use the keyword dungeon punks at buttrockets.com/dungeonpunks.
Buttrockets.brent.
What if you get butt.rockets?
Oh, I hope so.
I'm not going to lie, I'm a little afraid to type butt rockets into a browser.
I really hope that butt.rockets is an available URL that we can get to forward to.
Either that
page.
Or rockets.butt. I'm sure you can get that one.
Yeah. Kurt, can you look into that?
Yeah, can we take an action item there?
All right, so Shoes is followed by Scotty, I'm assuming, in the line. All right, you fire on up, and then slowly behind you comes the bear.
Yeah.
Which is the massive fuel burning rockets.
Yeah,
I feel like everyone else is like a magical propulsion rocket system. Yours is just burning fuel. Just fire and smoke.
Yeah, good old, just coal somehow. Just,
there's a couple of like...
There's just like a magical ever burning coal.
Oh, I was hoping for like some tiny imps. There's some little imps in the furnace room.
It's 100%
room.
What it is, yeah.
Just shoveling coal real fast.
In the like the rocket in the
we gotta do it, guys. Let's get him. He needs more power.
I'm going down.
I can't do it, Captain. She won't go any faster.
Oh, I've got a cramp. I've got a cramp.
I'm giving her all she's got.
This is canon now. It's little Scottish fairies. Just All right. As you are heading towards the edge of the atmosphere, flying towards the moon, a new button lights up on your console. It's a little picture of a star.
Ooh, that's fun. I'm afraid.
Ooh, pretty.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Scotty presses it first.
I guess so. I'm like just about to say, does everybody see this? And then
a little on your console, it says space mode activated.
Sweet. Hey, guys, there's a space mode.
And then as you're saying, hey, guys, there's a space mode, like the stars like shift right? And you like boom, blast off past everyone at hyperspeed. And like the moon is getting closer and closer.
I wonder if I have to shut this off manually. Guess I'm going to find out.
Danger Zone starts playing.
Yep. What does everyone else do? Cherry goes, oh, it seems to work, and hits it.
Yeah, yeah. I start hitting. I hit then.
I hit it multiple times. Yeah. Like,
you just...
That's exactly what happened. And you, Rocket, catching up to the lion on the shark.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I engage hyperdrive. Okay.
Like
engage.
Four rockets, like rockets fold out of your
just more rockets.
more, yeah. Another little airplane, like spaceship comes and docks as a booster.
More fairies just show up to shovel. It's like, oh, we're going into space, guys.
And they're all wearing like bubbles on their heads.
Yeah. They want someone out there to draw those.
And you, you do catch up. You're slightly behind.
Okay.
And you pass out of the atmosphere and you're now in space. You actually feel yourselves go weightless, but you are buckled in.
Mm. Is there no sound in fantasy space?
Well, you can't tell because you're inside of a...
That'd be like the worst place for a bard ever.
Is there a barf bag in my helmet?
No, but there could be barf in your helmet if that's where you're going.
It's like, you know, 50-50. Should I make a roll?
Yeah, make a constitution save.
Perfect.
Swallow it down.
Second to worst stat. 13.
You feel it coming up, but you just kind of, you just sort of...
I do that like half barf and then
you would have puked, but you had like a good base of croissants in your stomach. And
I'm just happy that
everything.
I threw the croissant at Johnny's head instead of eating it.
Yeah. For those of you that did accept croissants from Johnny, that box is probably unsecured and now floating about the cabin.
Oh, shit.
Hmm.
Leaving, probably as soon as it hits something, it sort of starts leaving like a trail of crumbs.
You didn't put it in your backpacks? Did we bring backpacks?
I did not take any
croissants.
Is there
like two seats here? Can I buckle it up?
There's not a second seat in here.
Actually, theoretically, I could just put my croissants in my underwear. And
yeah, you're probably fine.
Do they stay fresh?
No, it's not his underwear doesn't act like a bag of colding. It doesn't stay fresh.
Oh.
I mean, it's only been a couple of minutes, so they're still fresh. But
yeah. It's like a pizza delivery box.
I would have brought like weapons and stuff I would need for when we have to go in. Mm-hmm. But I didn't bring my whole pack.
Okay.
Johnny Seagull is safe at home or safe in the bunker with.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. I don't want him
there's
to
probably
die in
like two of the Navy warlocks are trying to deal with this seagull that's gotten loose.
And
the controller.
Rear admiral just hand.
He's like eating the croissant that's still on the floor.
Spit like peeing on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, it's causing all kinds of problems back at Mission Control.
Good thing we left Van with Rockin' Robin, our new better manager, Murray.
Yeah. There's some hijinks going on there, too. Murray has lost Van somewhere on the boat and is, like, trying to track him down.
Or just cuts to Van and Murray playing cards.
That's better.
That's the next time. It's now. Right now, he's trying to find him.
They go on a bender together.
Sounds like bonus content.
Murray and Van's great adventure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dude, where's my van?
Okay.
Oh, can we explain the weapon situation? Like, did we bring our weapons?
Did you?
Well, like, can we? Like, because usually I have, like, sheaths and shit. I don't know how this armor works.
If you were, like, holding it and planned to bring it, you can bring it with you.
Okay. Well, we're going into a cave without our giant robot, so I would bring it. Okay. At least the sword of Tadnus.
Okay. Yes, you can do that. It's in, it's, like, hanging up in the back of your cabin.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. our, like, suit that we're wearing to, the like, activated through the stone thing, that counts as armor, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Can I put my sling on there, too, for my shotgun? / crossbow next to shotgun country.
Yes, you could have brought both.
Yay.
They're both somehow just from your hands now mounted on the back of your cabin.
It'd almost be easier to just put our backpacks in the corner and strap them down, but
probably, but you didn't think of that.
Nope.
We just got in here and launched off.
And I'm assuming that
the Rust Monster method. Just fucking do it.
Yep.
Don't think about it.
You guys can see before you reach the moon there, you have to pass through a small little asteroid field.
Oh.
So you're all going to need to make a piloting check.
There's no sound in space. Can we just blast them?
You could also do that.
Hmm. I mean, I don't have any lasers. So.
Natural 20, bitches!
All right, the wolf is like doing super dope spins through the rocks.
With my butt rockets.
What do we add for the
Shark's
modifier?
Shark's doing pretty good, too.
It would be our proficiency bonus plus we're...
Plus dex.
Plus dex? Yep. Okay. So I got a 17.
All right, yeah, you do a pretty passable job of flying through these asteroids.
23.
All right, yeah, you do a great job of flying your big old lion through these asteroids.
I got 12. To be fair, I rolled a 3.
okay, the
I'm
eagle
the most
is
dexterous
hit.
Person here.
The eagle is hit by an asteroid and is going to take 6 damage.
No, can I shoot it?
No. It just hits you. You're kind of sent into a bit of a spin, but you manage to right yourself and come out the other side of the asteroid field.
Nice.
Now you all see this large, from a distance it looks like an asteroid. As it gets closer, it seems to be made of like stone and ice and metal.
Okay.
And it's heading in your direction. And it almost seems for a second to like change direction to start moving towards you.
Okay. It's not the moon.
It's not the moon.
No. That's no moon.
It's very clear because you can
no
see
moon.
The much larger moon behind it.
Right.
Okay, fair enough.
It's some kind of spacecraft.
Moon. I touched the side of my face because I'm not wearing... I am wearing my armor, but...
Does everybody see that object?
Yep.
I just glanced it, okay?
No, the thing in front of us, Johnny.
The bigger one.
Oh.
The one that's made of, like, ice and metal and shit.
You want me to shoot it?
Yeah, but...
You said, Stu, that it looks like it's moving towards
yes.
us?
Mm-hmm. And actually, as you guys are all studying it, it seems to unfold into two creatures wearing like half plate armor. And they appear to be, they look like very large elementals. One made of stone and one made of water and ice.
Whoa.
And they're in pewter half plate armor.
Pewter is a funny word.
And I'm going to need you guys to roll up some initiative.
Natural 20.
Pew pew. 21.
Wasted it on a thing I didn't want to go first for.
13.
19.
Okay.
Space
Johnny, you're
battle.
Going first.
How far away are they?
They're in shooting distance at this point. You are like you can close and shoot.
Can I net them?
Yeah.
I want to net the stone.
You can net one of them.
Yeah, I want to net the stone one. And like I can like pull them around after, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do that.
All right, so you fly towards the stone elemental and fire your net.
Yeah, plus 7 to hit. All right.
I heard nut.
Can yeah,
I,
me too.
Can I,
can
nut?
I
yep.
nut? Walk over, just kick the guy in the nut. I turn into a foot of a robot and just kick him in the nut.
Are they humanoid shaped?
Yeah, well, they're like top half is humanoid and then just kind of like
no, that might
tail.
Not hit. I only got 12.
That does not hit.
Yeah.
So this thing sort of spins out of the way of your net. And then you have to reel
retract
it. Yeah.
Does that take a turn? It can just do it by itself.
It will retract by the start of your next
okay.
turn. Is there anything else you can do?
I'm done.
All right, Scotty.
Can I move into 60 feet of them?
That's really
yes.
far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're moving faster, so you can close in on them.
Yeah. How does that work in space? Like,
we're just gonna wing it.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I'm just like, you have to be 10 meters away from them.
Like, relative distance, it would be 60 feet if we were both, like, human-sized.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I am going to use conflagration.
Okay.
So, and I want to move in front of everybody else.
Okay. Yeah, you're doing that.
So it's just the two of them. Are they like next?
You're probably even with where Johnny is, but yeah.
Okay, but I want to do it in front. Yeah. So each creature in a 60-foot cone in front of me must make a dex save, and then otherwise they take 4d10 fire damage.
Okay, so they'll make their dex saves. They will both fail.
Cool.
So roll some damage.
Do they have like boosters or something? How are they moving in space?
Magic.
Oh. Got me there, Stu.
Gonna find I really enjoy that details.
I can do that because we're in a fantasy world. I'd have to make some explanation if we're doing some sci-fi bullshit.
Deflector. They go through the deflector.
They're reversing the polarity.
Of the ion flow?
Yeah.
The neutron flow.
Yeah. Neutron flow. Oh, it's been a while since I watched Star Trek. Okay, so that is 20.
All right, they take 20 damage.
And I think I can just sure they're not do that whenever I do an action.
They're okay. Immune to robot attacks.
So yeah, you're the mane of the lion sentai sort of like flares out and all these like ports open up and you basically fire like a bunch of lasers out of it that hit them.
Cool.
And they take 20 damage each.
Can I fire it out of the lion's mouth? That's kind of how I pictured it. Just like.
Sure.
We get to keep these things, right?
Maybe.
It's going to be the next campaign a lot.
You just absorb the solar radiation from your mane. And
yeah, that's why the mane lights out. I like that.
And
yeah,
the
yeah,
mouth yeah. opens.
It's yeah. like a sunflower.
You use solar beams.
You, yeah.
Oh my God. It was a super effective.
No, not really. There was a stone and water, so.
It's true.
I feel like the.
They weren't resistant to it, so they took the full amount of damage. But yeah, so you hit them with that.
And then as that the damage.
Comes away, you can actually see their armor is like glowing red hot. From the hit.
UT Mill. Cool.
I did. Kind of.
And it's Cregan's turn.
So I will also close the gap.
Mm-hmm.
I will target the ice water one.
Mm-hmm.
But on my way to melee range, I would like to use my bonus action to use Harden. And I'm going to target Scotty. So your Sentai gets... That will be 15 temporary hit points.
Ooh.
So from the bear, a bunch of like plates shoot out and then like, attach themselves to the lion sentai, adding extra armor.
Ooh.
Okay. And yeah, I just like rocket into the ice elemental
just, like, body
and then just like bite him.
Okay.
So that will be an attack. That will, ooh, that might miss. So that's, but my strength is insane, so... That's 19.
That hits.
Okay. So that first attack, actually just for simplicity's sake, I will bite twice.
Okay.
So the second one might miss with a 15.
That doesn't hit.
Okay. So the first bite will do 6, 3, 9. So that will be 17 points of damage.
17?
Piercing damage, if that matters. Okay.
No, it's, as long as it's magical, which these sentai are. And then Cherry follows up, so the shark sentai closes in on the water elemental as well and is going to try and bite its other arm, basically, so you guys can both grab onto it. And that is unfortunately... Oh, it does hit, just because of the bonus from proficiency. Ooh! So she does 17 damage as well, and you're now both biting onto this water elemental.
Sweet.
Water elemental's got a bear and a shark on either arm. And
yeah, we're I just mean, clamping
it,
down.
It doesn't have a face, but it somehow manages to convey distress.
Mm.
Is it like water starts like leaking out, like it's sweating?
Sweating, yeah. Just sweat starts to form on the like helmet and then freeze into ice.
Yeah, little ice bits are flying around.
Yeah. And Shuzi, it's your turn.
I'm probably not close enough to bite yet, but can
you
I?
You could close and bite if you wanted to. You move and bite.
Yes. And how many of these... guys are within 100 feet. I know that's kind of...
They're both close enough for you to get to.
Okay. I'm actually going to try out this starlight. So they have to make a constitution save, which is DC 18.
Okay.
Or be poisoned.
Ooh.
Forever.
They both fail.
Nice.
But they're both immune to poison.
Fuck.
Oh.
I'm still going to close, though, because I probably can't, because that was an action, so I can't do anything else.
You can't move?
Well, I can move, but I can't use my earth walk because I'm not technically on the ground.
Mm.
So your wolf sort of from its eyes kind of glow this like sort of
greenish blue sort of sickly starlight, which is reflected on the armor of these elementals, and then they seem unaffected, unfortunately. And now it is finally their turn.
Should have done the other thing.
The earth elemental is going to grab your net.
What? Does that have a try?
Yeah, it's going to make a grapple check on that.
And that's a ninja?
It's going to do that.
Oh, no.
And then it's going to try and spin around and throw your sente into the lion. So it's going to try and make an attack roll against the lion.
Isn't there some sort of strength check or something?
Yeah.
So I have rockets?
You're caught off guard. It doesn't hit. Okay. Anyway, so you're kind of thrown a bit, but you manage to activate your rockets and avoid hitting Scotty's robot.
Does he still have my thingy in his hand?
No, because he threw you.
Oh, okay.
And then the water elemental is going to pull one of its arms free, and it sort of forms this trident out of ice, and it's going to stab at the shark.
Seems a little on the nose.
And it's going to hit with the first one. It does this 3 times.
No.
Hits with the second one as well.
Jesus.
And then misses with the final one, I think. Yes, but it does hit twice. And that is 4, 19 damage. And the second time it strikes, it like strikes in through the head, and you can hear over the comms Cherry give a shout of pain.
Mama, no. Oh, shit.
And it like leaves the trident in the head of the shark. And that's its turn. And it's back to Johnny.
You used a trident on a shark?
Yeah.
I suddenly...
Along the nose.
I
was phasing out, sorry. I was thinking what I'm going to do next.
I just suddenly realized I don't know if we can heal these things.
We can tinker it? That's a great
question. We did not ask.
We got croissants instead. I did.
You got croissants instead.
You were creepy in a closet watching them.
Okay, what are you doing?
Is I'm net back?
It has retracted,
yes. I fire my net at him.
Okay.
For, a 14.
That misses.
Ah! I'm rolling really low. I have a +7.
Yeah, and you just sort of keep flying around him.
Yeah.
Okay. Scotty.
I am going to go after the water elemental.
Okay.
That's the one that bit.
Stab. The
tried it and did it.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm going to bite it. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I'm going to use my trident.
I'm going to take the trident and I'm going to throw it. No, I'm gonna just going to bite it. For 21.
21 will hit.
It's going to take 8 damage, but I am going to bite it again.
Okay, it takes 8.
And that's a 25.
That will also hit.
Holy crap.
And that is a 12 damage.
Sparkly dice for the win.
Am I
my sparkly dice are the best.
I should have a +7 to attack, right?
What does it say by your attacks?
It says +7, but is that based off of...
But you add your proficiency.
So you should
7 plus proficiency?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I've been hitting all...
Yeah, I know. I did that last time, and I had to write it on the sheet.
Yeah, because I have a +12.
Okay, yeah, freaking way more than that.
Yeah, you should.
You should have an 11.
I would have netted that dude.
Kriegan. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm still beside the water elemental, so I will attempt to bite it twice again. So first bite will.
Did the water elemental shake off the shark and the bear?
It pulled an arm free to use the.
Oh,
thing.
Okay.
It wasn't technically grappled. That was just
a flavor thing. 19. For the first bite, so that will be so 20 points of damage for the first one, and then the second bite will be a natural 20 for 26 points of damage total.
Okay, it is not looking great.
And then as my follow-up, I will use my harden again. So, Scotty, the metal plates kind of... I don't know, either dissolve or fall off. So I have to reapply them pretty much every turn. So I will do so. So you get 5 temporary hit points.
So I don't have 15 anymore.
No.
Okay.
So every turn I'll have to do that again.
I don't need them as much as someone else, but it's okay. That's true. Take them.
All right. And Cherry is going to sort of back away from the water elemental that has hurt her. And you can see the robot doesn't quite seem to be functioning as smoothly as it was before. But she turns towards the earth elemental and unleashes an abyssal bomb from the mouth of the shark, which the elemental fails its save against and takes 2d12 bludgeoning damage.
What?
So it's going to take 20.
Nice.
And it's like coated in this stuff that seems to be slowing it down.
Yeah.
And then immediately, like behind the bomb, a harpoon fires out of the mouth of the shark as well.
Cool.
It's actually like a bubble of black stuff around the elemental, and this harpoon is going to pop it. Oh, it doesn't make a roll. It just happens. That's pretty cool.
Combo.
You made that thing.
Well, actually, it was made by the Sterling Vermin Adventuring Company. You should check out their stuff, which is pretty awesome. So that does 11 extra damage.
31? Shit.
She got real.
Yeah, and then you kind of see the shark kind of looks almost like it's starting to power down.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
Use your rocks.
And it is Shuzi's turn.
I'm going to do Starlight again, but I'm going to do the different effect, which is each creature that I choose within 100 feet. I mean, I'm there, right? Mm-hmm. Gains 3d12 temporary hit points.
Okay, roll it up.
So that's 24.
To who?
Okay, so that supersedes. The plates from Krieg and kind of fall away, but this sort of green-blue light.
Wait, is that all of us?
All of them.
Oh.
24 for everyone.
And you all get 24 temporary hit points.
Cool. Including Cherry.
Yep, it coats the shark as well.
And then I'm like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? Tell me everything.
She will answer on her turn, so you're just going to have to wait and stew on that.
I thought talking was a free action.
Well, you know, you can't have full-on conversations.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, the monsters are going. So the...
Stew's occupied.
The water elemental is going to stab now at ye oldie lion. And what's your lion's AC?
18.
So those both hit. And that is also a hit. So three hits as it just stabs a bunch of times with the trident.
Hey, hey. Knock it off.
It was a good run.
I'm flying here.
Oh, I gotta see if
I'm floating here.
Doesn't. Okay. So you take 11 and then 7 and then 10. So that's 28 total.
Whoa.
Well, I had those 24 hit.
Yeah.
Temporary hit points.
On the last hit, the like light that's around you like shatters in a very anime-esque moment.
That was very well thought out.
That was very well timed.
Yeah, precog.
And the
ooh, but it was magical, huh?
It was magical.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, how do
these attacks count as magic?
Oh, okay.
'Tis an elemental that can go fuck with itself.
The earth elemental is going to
probably take whatever
close
wants.
On the wolf.
Boo.
It's gonna make two attacks.
I don't think that I got temporary hit points though.
And it is going to miss with both of those. You're just too quick for it because it rolled double twos.
Do my paws have like fingers that move independently?
No.
Damn it! Double
flip them off.
Yeah.
Just press against the window.
Yeah.
You could definitely press your hand up against the window to flip them off.
I say, suck my ass.
As you rocket away using your butt rocket.
Yes, suck my butt rockets. Yeah.
From Brent's butt rocket.
Brent's butt rocket
Johnny,
emporium.
It's your turn.
I'm going to fire at the elemental again with my net, with my newfound pluses.
Your super useful net.
Natural one. No.
I got a 2. I got a 13.
It for misses.
Fuck's sake.
So just for the record, everyone else has been in super awesome like laser attacks, and Johnny has been flying around this earth elemental firing a net and missing.
I haven't got over a 10 in the last like...
You caught it the first time.
I also feel like there is an actual like reel in your thing, Kevin, that you were having to reel
me, like,
back
swearing.
In. Yeah.
Stupid scientist couldn't even put a freaking button to do this for me.
Meanwhile, Cregan got like little Scottish fairies to shovel coal.
This is like passively aggressively how my mom's getting back at me.
You know, these are ancient machines that were built by people.
No,
in the past,
this
right?
is my mom's doing.
Okay.
Just saying that it's like reeling it in.
Scotty, it's up to you now.
What is the current situation?
You were just attacked by the water elemental. It's still standing, but doesn't look great. There's lots of like bite marks in its armor. Mm-hmm. And the earth elemental is attacking Shoes.
Shoesy seems fine, so I'm going to bite what's in front of me.
Okay.
That's going to be a 27.
That's going to hit.
And that's going to be 7 damage, but that, I will bite it again.
Okay. Well, you don't need to.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't.
Literally had 7 hit points.
Only 7 damage?
Yeah, I got a d8 plus 6.
Yeah, this is like mega damage.
Sometimes you roll ones, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah. But you go right for its head, and you bite, and it like crushes the helmet in around its head, and then
this thing just sort of floats away as the like water falls away and turns to like little shards of ice. It is dead.
He got sharded.
Mm. Inside my helmet, I'm just like.
Okay.
Steams up a little bit.
There's croissant crumbs everywhere.
No.
I didn't have a croissant.
Yeah.
You're missing out. I'm not talking about your place. I'm eating croissant while reeling
the box in. Bonks into Johnny's head as he's reeling in his net. Cregan.
Cregan is going to rocket over to the earth elemental.
Okay.
How big is the earth elemental?
About the size of your bear.
So huge, would you say? Yeah. Okay, then never mind. I will attempt to bite it. So first bite, will an 18 hit?
18 will hit.
Okay, and then I'll roll for the second one. Ooh, that will be a 15.
That will not hit.
Okay, so the first bite will do 19 points of damage.
Okay.
Math with Phil.
Math with Phil.
On the second bite, the one that misses, you do bite like the stone, but you just kind of chip a tooth on the bear.
Well, I don't feel no pain.
You do get a little warning that's like, tooth chip, tooth chip, tooth chip.
Incisor chipped.
As a follow-up, I will use my harden and target Shoozy. Oh, so fun. You will get, what's that?
Shoozy's 13. Actually still got the armor four unless from...
No, she doesn't.
Oh, you didn't get it on you.
No. Okay. So you have 13 temporary hit points now.
Some more plates fly from the bear and land on the wolf.
Sweet Foley, bro.
Yeah.
I feel like there's just plates like flying back and forth in space.
Yep.
That's pretty epic. Yeah.
It's very like
this is very anime happening here. Lots of speed lines happening.
Lots of nets being reeled in.
Yeah. It's like all this cool anime stuff and then it just cuts to you.
Like a bird floating in space.
You just kind of through the comms here from Cheria choked like, ow, the thing's not working. I don't know what to do. That's her turn, and it's Shuzi's turn.
Dude,
there is a giant earth elemental attacking you.
Right. What was I going to do? I'm going to bite it.
Okay.
I get to do that twice. So that's 25.
That hits.
And that's 22.
Also hits.
So 11 and math 9 is
20. 20.
And all right. 20 damage.
You take some chunks out of it.
And I just tell Cherry, like, remember the air stones if you need them.
All right. As you're saying that, the earth elemental takes a swing at you. The first one, it like fully misses, and you can actually see when it like misses, like its arm kind of detaches, like the stones, because it rolled natural one. But then the second hit, as you're kind of watching those, comes and it like uppercuts the wolf, hitting four.
No.
2d6 plus four.
Don't worry, I got temporary hit points.
True.
And then another 3d10 from its thundering damage.
Fuck's sake.
Ooh, that is a lot of damage.
Uh-oh.
So it's 7 plus 4, which is 11 plus 28, which is... 39?
39.
What's your temporary right now?
13.
You just... It like, that's uppercut, like, definitely it's like its own anime, like, splash screen. And this, like, thunder, like, just rattles through your cabin. And
I'm going to use a reaction here. I'm going to do renewal, and I'm going to transfer some of my lost life to an ally. Like, would it make sense to do that to Cherry if her shit's breaking? That doesn't really. Okay. They regain half of the hit points lost by me.
Oh, cool.
So half of 39.
Okay.
I'll let you do the math there, bud, because...
Okay, so, I mean, if anyone's looking, the, like, holes on the Sente sort of close up.
That's cool. That's cool power.
Yeah. As, like, the wolf kind of glows for a minute, then the shark glows.
And I say, love you, babe.
It's the power of love. Or friendship.
And it's back to Jen.
Nat!
Do something different.
Oh, 16.
That misses.
Oh my god. I haven't rolled over a 10.
You're like that Caterpie that just keeps using string shot over and over. And it's like,
doesn't matter what I use. It would all
you guys are,
hit.
Most of you are now he like kind of in close combat with this earth elemental and you just sort of see a net fly by you.
Why do you use
it? And then kind of come back the other way as he reels
but
it in.
None of it would hit because I
can't. Can you shoot? Well, you can shoot two lasers, right?
Yes. But I'm going to do something cool, but I can't because the dice hate me.
Okay. Scotty.
Bite.
Okay, you fly in bite, at bite, the bite, earth bite. Elemental.
Bite, 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 bite. I rolled a one.
Ooh.
You bite your tongue.
All right, you go to bite it, and it's... I'm going to see how bad this is first. Mm. Not great. It throws a punch at you as you go in to bite it.
Okay.
And it's going to hit.
Okay.
It's not going to do the thundering damage because it used that already. So you take 9 points of damage as it just punches you right in the open mouth.
Okay.
But you can now bite its fist with your second bite.
I'm
going to
use my second bite. I also have a reaction I could take where I can, if I take damage, I can use my reaction to deal 1d10 fire damage.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay. Oh,
that
can I do them like concurrently?
Yes.
Okay.
That would make sense.
And that's going to be a 27 because I'm literally biting its fist in my mouth.
So yeah, the reaction would happen first.
Okay. So.
As you unleash some more of that solar beam, probably.
Yeah. That's going to be old too.
Okay. You melt back the fist just a little bit and then you bite it again.
Yeah.
Oh, that kind of hurt.
And do damage.
No, I'm okay.
And that is 12.
Okay. So you're now like just gripped down on that fist and it's Cregan's turn.
I'm just going to resume biting the stone elemental as well. So the first bite will be a 21.
Hits.
That will do 20 points of damage.
Okay.
And then the second bite will be well over, actually that's 30.
Yeah, that hits. 30 hits, surprisingly.
It doesn't hit. 16. It's the highest I've got so far.
9.
Plus 11. Plus
do better.
So that will be 17.
17? All right, so you go like right for the face and you bite down. And you can definitely, you hear the like groan of metal and like some of the rocks like crack up. And then you just bite again and the like head just shatters.
Ooh.
And this thing just kind of goes limp and starts floating away.
All I wanted to do was net him and go through the asteroid field, but no.
Yeah, you did like nothing.
No, well, there might be a use for your net because the shark still isn't moving.
Oh yeah, I could just go and net it to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Tow truck. I do have to roll. Do I hit?
You can hit. It's not moving or trying to dodge.
It's like you 10 rounds later. Damn it! Damn it!
So is that what you guys want to do? Tow the shark down to the moon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe just as we're doing that, it kind of. On the comms, just ask if everybody's okay.
Yeah.
Like, inside the...
Shuzi answers with it. Not really. Cherry.
Don't speak for these two. Yeah, jeez.
Words in her mouth.
You're literally putting words in Aaron's mouth.
Like, they taste gross.
Literally? Like,
shoving
just like
pieces of paper with words written on them.
Sorry, what does Cherry say?
Not great.
We're towing.
Can't like heal.
Yeah, we can't really heal.
Do we know that?
Well, like the thing is, it's magic, and
you don't have line of sight on a person.
Yeah, like they're inside another.
But can we heal those?
Yeah,
and they also can't hear us. Like,
yeah.
But comms.
I mean, I think it has to be like in the open air.
Mm.
Yeah,
like the moon.
So you guys are towing Cherry and the Ruby Shark towards the moon, and here's a song from a band we like.
Forever endless inclement weather, winter's death and grip start to dig in. hope for an Indian summer. The off season's such a bummer. Let's hope for an Indian summer. Cause we don't wanna go back home. Let's hope for an Indian summer. Let's hope for an Indian summer. Let's hope for an Indian summer.
That was Isotopes and their song Indian Summer. And also in this episode was This Is This. That's the name of the song by the band Whisper Disco. And watch this transition. Speaking of disco, in this episode, Lee mentioned that you can find out exactly how the Disco Knights sent Lord Lead to the Moon on a bonus episode on our Patreon. And let's just give you a little bit of a sneak peek right now, shall we? Welcome to Dungeon Punk's Disco Nights. I'm Stu Pop, your Dungeon Master and everyone's podcast dad. And with me, as sometimes, are these guys.
Well, we're all here, usually. It's a subset. My name's Lee Eldridge, and today I will be playing Frida, who is a Dragonborn cleric.
And I'm Phil C. Plack, and today I'll be playing Zephy, the Wood Elf cleric.
And I'm Kirk Hamilton, usually on the other side of the microphone, playing Fergal Sweet Brother, who is also known as Finn, playing a stout halfling cleric.
Sweet Brother. Nice.
Sweet Brother.
So we see on a black screen 30 years ago, dot, dot, dot. And we cut to a cloudscape. The camera zooms in and there's a dragon, silver dragon, massive silver dragon, flying through the clouds above Misfit Marsh. Hanging onto the back of that dragon are three cleric heroes. The wind whips through your ears. The dragon turns its head back and says, "All right, we're above the drop zone. Your mission is to find Lord Led's moving castle. Avoid his forces. Find your way into the castle and attach this," the dragon holds up a package, "to Lord Led. This is a magical device that will send him to the moon, trapping him and removing him from battle. He is, of course, too powerful for us to defeat in battle, what with his monster-growing abilities. So this is the only way. This could turn the tide of the Disco War. Prepare to jump. You have 10 seconds, or we will miss the drop window." And he tosses the package to Frida.
"Okay, bye!" And I jump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just start preparing. I, like, adjust my armor. Kind of
nine.
Fasten the... I gotta look pretty, you know.
Eight.
I'm already sailing down.
Yeah. I catch the device, yeah, and like stow it into my armor and say, "Thank you, dragon friend." And I just
seven.
Dive off.
Okay.
I wait to the very end.
Six.
And I just do a front flip off of the dragon and then descend downwards.
The dragon watches you fall and he just kind of crosses himself and goes, "Godspeed, little ones."
If you want to know what happens next, just head over to patreon.com/dungeonpunks. If you enjoyed the podcast, please check us out at podcastsofdoom.com. There you'll find links to our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages, as well as our Patreon. If you're able to toss us as little as $5 a month, you can access bonus episodes, which feature some other events going on in Fugazi right now, as well as deleted scenes and other goodness. Or if you're unable to, just toss us a review on iTunes or wherever else. That always helps. Dungeon Punks was produced by Kirk Hamilton for the Podcasts of Doom Network.